Well, I don't hear any rattling of pots and pans in there, so I guess everything's pretty much ready for us. And it looks like most of them are out there instead of in here. It is good to see all of you folks that are here, though. And I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, so I know that might some might have checked out because of that, but not us, right? We're here. Here we are. And today we're going to be talking another beatitude, and today's beatitude reminds me of pinto beans. Stop and think about that for a minute. We just sang the song about being pure in heart, and God, help me to be, and what a great prayer for that to be. Let that be your prayer this week, by the way. David himself said, cleanse my heart, O God. And we could pray what David prayed. But we are on the sixth of all the Beatitudes, and it's in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Number 6, after all that we've been through, and this one again reminds me of pinto beans. Now, what do you think that means? How many of you have ever taken a sack of pinto beans that you've gotten, say, from HEB, and you've laid it out on the kitchen table, you've poured it out, and you've spread those beans all over the kitchen table? You ever done that? Something like that? Yeah, we got some hands up. I remember doing that all the way back with when I was in elementary school in Corpus Christi. My grandmother would do that. She would put them out on the table and they'd be all out. And then we got to play along with her. Do you remember what we were looking for, anybody? Yeah, we were looking for little rocks. Because if you don't do that and you cook pinto beans and then you, of course, eat them, you might break a tooth. If nothing else, at least you get a shock when you're eating pinto beans and you run across what you're not expecting, something hard and resistant to you. And that reminds me of this particular beatitude, because being pure in heart is kind of like having pure pinto beans, if we can. No hidden pieces in there that aren't supposed to be there. So purity of heart. And the next thing that it reminds me of is Lake Tahoe. Anytime I think of purity, Lake Tahoe. Who's ever been to Lake Tahoe? You could take one of those clear plastic bottles and pour out the pure water that you've just bought on your way over to Lake Tahoe, and you can wade out into the lake. It's ice cold, by the way. You can wade out into the lake, and you could fill that plastic bottle full of that Lake Tahoe water, and you're going to drink it, and it is going to be just as pure as anything that you could buy. I looked it up. Always knew it was pure, heard that most of my life. Lake Tahoe is 99.994% pure. Is that not amazing? Wow. Probably the purest lake on earth. Maybe there are others, I don't know. But I know Lake Tahoe is awfully pure. Bottled water, by the way, is 99.998. So, four thousandths of a percent purer. Well, that's not much. It's I guess, about the same. But so when I read this, blessed are the pure in heart, I wonder, is God saying that the only way that I will accept you is if your heart is 99.994 Lake Tahoe purity? Or it's like a bowl of pinto beans without any little rocks in it. It's completely pure. Is that what God is saying? Pure in heart. Well, I think that's what God wants. Surely, right? Don't you think? God wants that. If it were possible for us to live perfectly pure lives, would not God want us to do that? Yeah, He would. He would want us to be absolutely pure, and He does. But you know, we're probably a lot like Noah. He was considered a very righteous man. But you know, we read a little further on about his life and we realize he wasn't absolutely completely righteous. He just wasn't. Bless his heart. But he was, to God, considered a righteous man. Well, so was Abraham. Abraham was righteous. By his faith, we're told, he was considered righteous by God. The Apostle Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. Again, didn't mean he was perfect. He was pretty good, though. He had great faith, and he obeyed God, and, of course, he lived a godly life. I would say he was pure in heart. I would say Noah was pure in heart. Boy, but what about David? What about David? I mean, come on. How could David be? We know David's story. David had an affair with a married woman and then had her husband killed so that he could have her. And yet God could say about David that he's a man after my own heart. In a sense, what he's saying is he's a man that has a heart like I have. In the sense that David always wanted to be righteous. I think of Psalm 51, if you want to turn there. I'm going to read a few verses there. You don't have to. I'll read it and won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But it's written, we're told at the beginning, to the director of music. So we're just singing this song. We're not going to, but those folks were. And put it into music, and surely they had their group that would sing, and everybody singing along. It's a Psalm of David, we're told, so we know David wrote this. But then we're told, when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So this psalm is about that event, and it's David writing about it. And here's what he says. Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you were right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. But then he says in verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. And then he says, and this is the final verse we'll read, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's a man after God's own heart. That's a man who understands that he's not pure in heart fully, and that he wants purity of heart. I think we could all identify with that. I think in some way or another, like with David here, we could say this same prayer to God. And God, forgive me of my sins. Take away my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Even as Christians who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ need to pray that prayer. But that prayer is a prayer that is prayed, if prayed sincerely, from someone who is actually pure of heart. I want this in my life. I don't always have it in my life, but I want it. I want to be righteous all the time. I would ask for a show of hands, and all of them would come up, I'm sure. But if you could raise your hand, you would raise your hand at this question. How many of you would want to be thoroughly, always, absolutely, 100% righteous? All of us. How much of us would want to be absolutely Lake Tahoe percent pure? Every one of us. Yeah, my grandson raised his hand back there. Amen. I love you, grandson. David was a man who was after God's own heart. And this is why. This is purity of heart, is when you do cross the line, when you do fall short of the righteousness of God in your life, you realize you do, and you want to make it right with God. And you do everything you can, of course, to reform your life and not do that again. But chances are you will. At times, we will trip over some of the same things. And we will not be pure at that moment, of course, but with the blood of Christ, God will purify us of all of our sins. Charles Spurgeon, I love this little quote from him. He said, "Purity, even purity of the heart, is the main thing we aim at." And I like that, because he's right. That's the main thing as God's people. Jesus Christ died on the cross to wash away our sins, and so what God wants the rest of our lives is for us to continually strive toward not sinning. And so our aim in life should be purity, that purity of heart. It is the one thing, the main thing that we aim at. And when I think of aiming at, I think of a dartboard. We probably all played dart here, or maybe somebody with an arrow shooting at a bullseye. That's what we're aiming for all the time, is the bullseye. And we've all thrown dart, surely. And you know that there are times when you don't actually hit the little red dot in the middle, am I right? I mean, it's sometimes around, sometimes it's on the wall, you know. But other times it's just on the further out away from the little red dot. Well, the little red dot is perfection. And that's what we're always striving for. We're always aiming at that. We're throwing our dart at that little red dot because we want the full points. We want to be completely pure. Sometimes, though, maybe we're not as righteous thinking as we should be. We're aiming more at a barn, you know. You just throw the dart at the barn, you're going to hit it every time, you know. In other words, we're really kind of a little bit not concerned so much about that. And that's not Noah, that's not Abraham, that's not David, and that ought not be us. We ought to be people who want that purity of heart. Let me tell you some things that it is. What it is, what is not, we'll talk about, but what it is. Purity of heart is, another word could be used, is integrity. That's oneness in your mind. I have one aim in my life, and that's to live a morally pure and holy life. It is being single-hearted. When you get married, your goal is to please your spouse, is to love your spouse, to have no other ones with them. You know, I've done a lot of marriage ceremonies, and that's one of the things that I always mention, is the fact that whenever you're being married, you are promising yourself to that one person and no other. That's integrity. That's purity of your marriage, but it's integrity. It's singleness of heart. It's what we sing. I love the song that we just sang a while ago about God, make my heart pure. I can't remember the words, but what a beautiful song. And I'm glad we sang that song. But I think of the one that we also sing, you know, the true hearted, wholehearted, faithful and loyal, you know. That's another good one. True hearted, pure in heart is being true hearted. It's what we sing, if you've heard this song, the contemporary worship song that asks God, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. That's purity of heart. That's seeking purity in your heart. It's what you want inside. That's what it is. It's what David prayed for, as we just read. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live. And then he says, and this is in another psalm, grant me an undivided heart. The New Living will say a pure heart. But I love the New International Version here, an undivided heart. My heart has a singleness of a goal of being pure and being holy. That's what it is, purity of heart. And so it's something that all of us should want to do. Well, here's what it's not. It's not what we show to others on the outside that we don't have on the inside. You remember Jesus in Matthew 23 talking to the Pharisees? He lists all kinds of problems that they had. But one of them was, he called them hypocrites. See, more than once did he call them that in Matthew 23. But in one case, he called them hypocrites and he said, you know what you're like? You're like whitewashed tombs. Remember that? You're whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you look nice and clean. But what's on the inside? Remember? Dead man's bones. And other filthy things. Dead men's bones. In another place, in Luke 11, he says, Matthew doesn't record it, but in Luke 11, you're like a cup. So you're like a tomb that's whitewashed. Problem is, inside, dead bones. Also like a cup. You remember that one? Outside, completely clean. Who wouldn't want to drink out of a clean cup? I mean, every one of us. Problem is, he says, the inside of your cup has not been washed. It's dirty. It's filthy. And so he was telling the Pharisees, it's not how you act. It's important that we act righteously. It's not how we act, though. It's what's inside that makes us act the way we act. And so just acting righteously, outwardly, and not having it inside, there's where the problem is. That's the lack of purity of heart. You have a person has a visual appearance of being righteous, but if their heart's not, they're not. God sees their heart. We see our own hearts. And we know sometimes we're just doing things so that people approve of us, or at least they don't disapprove of us. And so we do everything we can to put on a facade, to put on an image of that. Well, that's what it's not. That is not purity of heart, obviously. It might be purity of appearance, but it's really not purity of heart if we're like the Pharisees. The Pharisees had a great idea. They really did, guys. They really did. And they said, it's almost like they got together over some coffee, you know, at Starbucks, and they said, let's be the kind of people that do everything we can to be perfectly righteous in what the Bible teaches. They were talking their Old Testament scriptures because they were the Old Testament Jewish people. And so they did a pretty good job of it. I mean, they tithed when they're supposed to tithe, and they, you know, they acted the way they're supposed to act. When it came to the Sabbath, they never violated the Sabbath. They were really squeaky clean when it came on the way they lived. Problem was, it didn't really change their hearts. It didn't really affect their hearts. Their hearts didn't necessarily have to be good. It was really more the outward thing. Well, we could be that way religiously. We could get where it's more of a behavior kind of thing that people see, where we really don't change inside. Purity of heart is that change that we ought to make. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Because all that rest of that takes care of itself. We will live, we'll find ourselves living righteous lives. It's not like the woman that said, little cartoon, you know, she's sitting with other women in a Bible study at somebody's house, sitting on the couch and stuff. And she said, well, she says, I haven't exactly died to sin, but I felt kind of faint once. You know, sometimes we think about when it comes to sin and inside. Romans 6 says that we ought to die to sin, and that by in our baptism we have died to sin, and so we ought not to live any longer in a sinful life. Well, that's a behavior thing, but it's also a heart thing. Our hearts have been changed. God has given us a new heart. He's given us a new soul. He's washed away all the sinfulness in our soul. We have died to sin. We hadn't just fainted a little bit. We've died to sin. And then let's live like it. It's in our heart. Let's tell ourselves, I've died to sin. I ran across this little quote from R. Kent Hughes. He's got a pretty good little book on the Sermon on the Mount. So I was reading his chapter on this, and he said this in that chapter. He said, very few in this frenetic age, are capable of the spiritual attention for which this beatitude calls. Very few. Partly because, as he called us frenetic, our generation, our age, a frenetic age, we're just going from one thing to the next, one thing to the next. That we really don't have time, or we only give it a little sliver of our attention to be holy and righteous. And so we really don't give it very much attention, spiritual attention, to what it's called for here. And that is that purity of heart. Now, I just want to say to you, and we'll turn this lesson over to you, that in all of these Beatitudes, Jesus isn't chastising us. And I hope I haven't come across that way myself. We got to talk about what it is and what it looks like and what's wrong or right about it, if we have it or don't have it. But Jesus isn't saying all of these things to chastise us, because notice that he says, blessed. It's almost like saying, do you want to live a good life? Do you want to have a really fulfilled life? Here's what you do. And he begins to list the different things. Be poor in spirit. Mourn, perhaps over your shortcomings and things. Be meek. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be merciful to other people. And then be pure in heart. And if you do that, boy, you're going to live the kind of life that you really want. You're going to live the kind of life, you're going to have that inner peace and that blessedness from God by having these things. So it's not a chastisement by Jesus, what he's saying here. It's an invitation. So let's go home this week and really focus on, I want to be pure in heart, God. Pray to God. That's what David did. Cleanse my heart, oh God. Make me pure. Pray that prayer. Ask God to cleanse your heart. He finally says, if you do that, you'll see God. I don't think he means in heaven at the second coming. I don't think he means that face to face. Surely that's in there somewhat. But I mean, in now, you know, if you live these things, and especially with this one, you have a pure in heartness that you develop. You begin to understand how God must be. And you, because you are adopting the things that are of God. You know, God is pure of heart, don't you think? 100%. 1 John says that there is no darkness in God whatsoever. So I've told you before, the Greek uses a double negative there. You don't do that in English because that makes it a positive. But in the Greek, it intensifies it. And so John says, there is no darkness in God, none whatsoever. And so God is completely pure. We should strive for that. And as we do, we begin to realize how good purity is in our hearts and how it helps our behavior to do the kinds of things we ought to do. So David prays, and here it is. And this may be your prayer this week. It's in Psalm 86. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live. Grant me purity of heart. Isn't that a great little prayer? That's for us. Lord God, cleanse me. Teach me your ways. Grant me the purity of my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you like David, and we ask you to purify us. Help us to keep having a pure heart. We know, Father, it's a struggle sometimes and we fall short, so forgive us when we do. But help us, Lord, to be more like you, to be more like some of the great people that we read about in the Word of God who weren't perfect, but boy, they wanted to be. And that's what we want to be too. Bless us, watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.